Welcome to the Brown County Hour.
Coming to you from the legendary hills of Brown,
where the plum purple haze,
the one nature herself drapes over the hills and hollers,
inspires local characters, artists, and nature lovers.
It's as though the hills themselves conspire to create a beauty and culture in the heart of Indiana.
Sit for a spell and hear the music.
Tall tales.
True stories.
And current goings on.
Brought to you by folks who still know how to sit by a fire in winter.
And swim buck naked in summer.
Welcome to episode 155 of the Brown County Hour. This is Sarah Lytle.
And Dave Seastrom, along with the rest of the crew. This month, our musical guests are Cody Eichard and the Sidewinders with Corey Flick on the harmonica. We recorded the Courthouse Bell rededication, and we're pleased to share some of that local history.
We'll also share essays from Jim Eagleman, Jeff Tryon, and Dave Seastrom. We've included a poem from Gunther Flum, an interview with Amanda Webb, and a short story from Deb Bowden.
Our first segment begins with the courthouse bell. On December 8th, Brown County residents gathered to celebrate the rededication of our courthouse bell following the renovation of the courthouse itself. Longtime resident Jim Roberts shares his childhood memory of hearing the bell toll for the death of the town water pump in 1948. Bellkeeper Dwayne Parsons tells us all about the bell, except where it was made, because nobody knows. Cody Eichard and Corey Flick share their tune, Dreamers Like Me. And we'll finish with naturalist Jim Eagleman's essay as he reveals the survival tactics of our local wildlife in the darkest depths of winter.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. For those who don't know me, my name's Mary Wirtz. I'm the current circuit court judge. And I welcome everybody to the dedication of the Brown County Courthouse Bell. We are here to celebrate the return of the courthouse bell to the grounds of the historic Brown County Courthouse after a five-year absence. But the bell has really been absent from our community for a much longer period of time. As I prepared for this day, I sought stories of the bell being rung. The most interesting story I found is from Jim Roberts, who most of you know is the senior member of our Brown County Bar Association. And he has graciously agreed to tell the story that he recalls from his youth here in Brown County.
Oh boy.
Yes, I have heard the bell ring. And my recollection goes back to an event here, another event that was celebrated right here at this place, and that was the burial of the town pump. 1948, Brown County, Nashville and some of the areas around here, probably about as far as Bean Blossom Overlook, got what we call at that time city water. Through the efforts of members of the town council and through the efforts of the local Lions Club, we had put together a water utility that served a lot of this area. And thanks should go out to them. I understand that, and this is one of the things that may plague the utility now, they didn't have enough money to get 4-inch pipe, but they were able to get plenty of 2-inch pipe. The only problem was they had to get it from France. So some of the pipes that are now plaguing the utility are those French pipes. The ceremony that we had was for the burial of the town pump. The town pump was right here. There's part of it now. The funeral of the town pump was quite a ceremony. Josh Bond had his horse-drawn hearse, and members of the Lions Club came and unscrewed the pump and carried it over and put it in the horse-drawn hearse. In the meantime, someone, the bailiff, the sheriff, someone started ringing the bell. Slow death knell for the pump. And so the pump was carted away, and I'm not sure where it ended up. Maybe Judge Worth can answer that. But that's my recollection of hearing the courthouse bell. This courthouse used to be where we had community events. We had square dances in the courtroom. When I started my practice here in 71, there was a piano in the corner of the courtroom. The spelling bee, when I was in the sixth grade, I was in the spelling bee. And that was hell in the courtroom. Brown County, we love the courthouse, and we love the bell. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, well, I want to tell you that we would not all be here to celebrate this moment without the determination of Mr. Dwayne Parsons. Removed from the building in July of 2019 during they were working on that bell tower, belfry structure. Dwayne was committed to returning the bell to a place of honor on this courthouse lawn. And he spent countless hours rallying support, designing the structure, collecting donations, and assembling a mostly volunteer crew of craftsmen and laborers. And the man has spent countless hours cleaning that bell. And he never gave up on this project. And you have our unwavering thanks, Dwayne. And I'd
Thank
like
you.
To give you an opportunity to say some words as the keeper of the bell.
Certainly a tough act to follow, I'll tell you. Next time I'll lead off. There is no next time.
Right.
I will lead off. Back in 1837, approximately 188 years ago, a courthouse construction project started on this very site. It was a log structure, and it was used until 1853. At that time, it was sold. In 1855, a new two-story brick building was completed on this same site. In 1873, fire consumed the building. A new courthouse was constructed, again on this site, completed in 1877. This two-story building was built with a bell tower on top, that same bell tower. The new tower encased a bronze bell. The bell weighs in excess of 300 pounds, this bell behind me. This bell was atop the courthouse since 1877, approximately 147 years. Few people alive today ever knew that the tower even contained a bell, and very few had ever laid eyes on it till recently. The tower was renovated in the summer of 2019, as the judge said, 5.5 years ago. It was determined at that time that the structure that supported the bell was too weak, too frail, and too rotten we'd have to replace the whole structure. And with our budget, it was decided that we just take the bell down, store it somewhere in a safe place. Well, a safe place with our sheriff has graciously donated a spot. We decided if these people will steal a catalytic converter and take it to a scrapyard, there's 350 pounds of bronze sitting there. We needed somewhere safe, so we locked it up in jail. So we locked it up in the jail. Well, thank you, Brad. The tower was renovated, like I said, 2019, 5.5 years ago. And at that time, the structure would not support the bell. So rather than rebuild the tower, we decided to put it on the ground and then display it permanently for all to enjoy. Through a joint effort of a lot of people, it was decided to place it on permanent display within sight of its original home. The bell can now be enjoyed by all who visit Nashville, Indiana, and our scenic courthouse property. Very little history is known about the bell itself. Most bells contain the name of the foundry where it was cast at. There's no foundry markings on this bell, inside, outside, or anywhere, so we don't really know where that it was cast. It shows no distinct markings depicting its origin. The only artifact that was discovered by our own history center, thanks to them, they dug up a receipt showing that the clapper bolt This is the clapper bolt on top that holds the clapper. It was replaced in 1905 with the cost of the bolt and the installation thereof. The cost of the county was $1. That's really the only thing that we've been able to dig up, and we appreciate all the efforts that our History Center has done for us for that. The original cost of the bell is still unknown. Our county rallied together to have this new structure erected at very minimal cost to the county. Many people sought out different individuals and businesses to graciously donate money, materials, and labor to make all this possible. We are forever grateful to all those that donated to the project. It takes a whole team to achieve success like we have been shown here. We'd like to thank all of those that have been involved in making this dream of over 5 years come true to reality. I am so fortunate to have been involved with a team like this that made this dream possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
And at the conclusion, we will ring the bell.
Woo!
Yeah.
And it is my great honor and privilege to officially celebrate the return of the courthouse bell to a place of honor on the courthouse lawn. And Dwayne,
you
have the honor of ringing the bell.
I will let you know ahead of time that this bell makes a little bit of racket. So we'll ring it 3 times.
Passes by like an old memory. It was only yesterday I was just a knee high. Now I'm pushing 30, bloodshot in my eyes. And I fight with myself on what is enough. Say I'll get more, but I call my own bluff. And maybe one day I will see the age and understand what it means to be born and raised. And it ain't so simple to hold on. But dreamers like me never know why we can't ever be satisfied.
We tend to think animals should move faster now, given the cold, like we do. just to keep the blood flowing, maintain the inner core. And if they'd moved faster, I should be able to see them better now than in the summer, when they were hot and slow. But this anthropomorphism, giving animals human-like qualities, is a common reaction of ours, and often misleading. Animal and bird activity reacts to the cold in much different ways than we might think. Let me offer a few examples. Birds perching on a branch near your feeder are conserving energy, simply not by moving and fluffing out their feathers. You've probably seen this. Imagine your skin with feathers, and the feather's behavior if you get goosebumps. Each feather moves erect and becomes fuller, creating better insulation over the entire bird body. As long as they stay out of wet weather, avoid chilling winds as much as they can, and find adequate food, overwintering birds should do just fine. But this is a lot to ask. Cold weather is hard on animals of all kinds, especially those that remain active and don't hibernate. Small animals in general, and all birds, are burning more calories, just as their best sources of food, the insects, seeds, and berries, have disappeared. Predators are also burning more calories just to keep warm, as their best food source, smaller animals, and birds have grown less plentiful, too. Many rodents and reptiles are sleeping deep underground now, while many of our summer songsters have flown south. Another bird survival technique, always facing into the wind. Blowing wind up a bird's posterior can chill fast, while feathers lying flat and streamlined are better at deflecting the cold. When temperatures plummet, drinking water is hard to come by for birds and animals. A slow trickle of melting water from a broken tree branch, for example, may be their only source, and finding it's difficult. This could mean life is cut short for a bird or an animal. And this is a limiting factor, a term first coined by scientist and author Aldo Leopold. It can absolutely determine survival. One vital component that's missing, and winter can be a cruel time. But mating for some animals continues, as I witnessed a young doe strolling through our yard the other day. In close pursuit was an eight-pointer, lips flared, licking his lips to get a faint odor of his potential mate. She was eating the fallen acorns, and he wasn't interested in the food, only her. A few attempts to get close, and she'd flick her tail and move ahead. He was persistent, and they both walked off, she leading, he following. The fall rut is now in full swing. Both their bellies are probably full of fallen acorns that supplement their normal browse of twigs, buds, and herbaceous plants that may still be supple. Off in the distance, gunshots. The first day of the park deer hunt, now well into the maintenance phase to keep deer in check with what the suitable habitat can support. Healthy deer moving through a healthy forest. The goal of the park's deer hunts now in their 30th year. A trip to the woodshed to load the seasoned wood of oak or hickory, for the wood stove almost always reveals a nest of either a white-footed mouse or the deer mouse. Both are very common here and very prolific. Unlike deer that breed once a year, mice can produce young every 40 days, gestation lasting 22 to 25 days. They can breed from early spring through mild winters. The nest is a well-insulated, tightly round ball of wood fibers and bark and can sometimes be found in birdhouses. Disturbed as I load the wood, she, I can't tell which one, scampers off with her young still attached. She will breed until her old age of 3 or so years and her offspring able to breed within the year of birth. No wonder this prolific animal, a bountiful prey species, is so important to predator well-being each winter. May be considered a nuisance as they seek out warmer places to spend the winter, like your basement and garage and attic, mice numbers will almost assuredly guarantee we'll continue to see possums, raccoons, fox, and coyotes all winter long. When I think back to my early winters in Pennsylvania, snow, snow, and more snow was what was experienced, lived with, and tolerated. My buddies and I rejoiced when school was called off, which meant we could finally tackle that long, steep hill outside of town. Our sleds kept ready by using steel wool pads on the runners. A lone fox trotted by our group one day, his tail as big as fluffy as he was, headed to a nearby ravine. It must have been my first time in seeing one, and I was quick to mention it at our school the next day. My description made an impact on the class. And that was the first time I heard the word naturalist. And maybe, said my teacher, I might grow up to be one. Hope your sightings and enjoyment this winter. enjoy the winter wildlife in Brown County, contact me at this station if questions arise or you have a story to tell. I'd be happy to share that story next time here on Nature Ramblings. I'm Jim Eagleman for the Brown County Hour.
Now we pause for station identification.
You are listening to the Brown County Hour on volunteer-powered community radio, WFHB, at 100.7 in Brown County, 91.3 and 98.1 in Bloomington, 106.3 at Ellettsville, and online at wfhb.org.
Support for WFHB comes from Our Brown County, a magazine for locals and visitors featuring art, entertainment, and county characters since 1995. Printed 6 times a year and available online. More at ourbrowncounty.com.
Segment 2 begins with our featured musical guest, Cody Eichard and the Sidewinders. Bandleader Cody and harmonica player Corey Flick join us in the studio, still basking in the glow of 13 nominations at the Josie Music Awards, where Cody won Vocalist of the Year in the Outlaw Country category. Deb Bowden recites a Valentine's poem for her true love, and we have a public service announcement about the Community Health Fair Saturday, February 22nd at the Brown County YMCA with health screenings and health care navigation. Well, I'm Rick Fettig, and I'm here with the Brown County Hour, and we have two guests tonight, Cody Eichard and Corey Flick. Welcome, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I guess we have a CD we're going to talk about a little bit here, don't we?
Yeah. We sure do.
Yeah, the Dreamers Like Me album that I released back in May of 2023. And one of them was a single that we released last year, 2024.
Do you have a particular approach or something? Or you do the song, write the lyrics first or the music? Or you want to give us some idea how that comes about?
Yeah, songwriting is kind of weird in that way. You can come up with a few lines and it could turn into a whole different thing. Or most of the time for me, I'll sit down and play chord progressions and different things on the guitar, and then it'll spark something in my head.
And lyrics start
the next
coming.
Thing you know, the best songs for me that I've written are usually pinned down in about 15 minutes.
Oh, really?
If I have to work more than that, you know, sometimes you'll have a whole song complete and then you'll take some extra time to revise some things and, you know, make it a little bit more fluid. But, you know, the bulk of it is usually done in 15, 20 minutes, yeah.
And Corey, you're involved in this, and you're Mr. Harmonica, aren't you?
I am Mr. Harmonica. And why he's got a full-time harmonica player in a country band, I don't know, but it's working out pretty well. So. Yeah, pretty much for me, a lot of times I get files from songwriters or artists, and they want my point of view or what I think would go in a song. A lot of times I will interview the artist and see what their mindset is. I think it's extremely important to know where that creative process came from. Was it from a point of pain or happiness? And I think that's crucial when you're trying to capture something for a song or a project or whatever that may be. So I've always found that a lot of artists are a little surprised by that, but I tell them, in my studio, I have over 20 amps and over 60 different harmonica mics and 100 and something pedals. So for me to go, you know, what do you want? They're like, oh, I just want a harmonica. And I'm like, well, what does that mean?
So, you've got like a little board like the guitar mm-hmm. players have, and it doesn't always sound like a harmonica.
Years ago, I was in a touring band and I was a rhythm guitar player. A really bad one, and I knew I was going to get kicked off a tour. So I was blessed to meet Richard Malone, which he's like my mentor. So Doc met up with me after a gig and handed me his business card with the harmonicas he thought I should buy. So I had a guitar player background, and I thought, well, I should be able to do some pretty innovative things with a harmonica. So just through a lot of research, discovery, getting on YouTube, and figuring out how I would position something with pedals has now turned into, I have 5 different pedal boards and over 120 something pedals. So it's nuts.
Well, we've got a couple songs here.
Yeah. This is a song kind of came up with the storyline with Moonshiner as like a, I don't know if you would call it an innuendo or a euphemism, maybe. I don't know. There's too many big words for me to understand them all. But yeah, so this is a really fun song. We recorded it up at the Static Shack up in Indianapolis. My wife got me a little jaw harp, a little dong, dong, dong thing. And I was like, how can I incorporate this into a song? Well, this one came up and I was like, this sounds so cool in the beginning. So I got to play that. This was the first song that Corey got to play harp with us on. And we even have a little gem of a rain stick in the second verse. So, yeah.
So listen for the surprises. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Getting ahead, so I saved a few dollars for some corn and bread. I had an old steel, my kin left behind, a little insurance if I get in a bind. Singing hey, 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 I gotta try it out another way. I say hey, 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 let me live by my own way. Barrels trying to rush the time. Then a storm came a rolling while lightning strikes, and the rain came a falling on a hot summer night. Singing hey, 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 we all I'm feeling okay. A little taste, hey, hey, I woke up in the woods that day. Trying to toe the line and make a dime, and keep them always wondering which holler this time. Singing hey, 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 looking over my shoulder all day. I say hey, 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 I hope the law ain't sniffing my way.
And you won an award for that song.
Yeah, I did. I forgot about that. Thanks.
Yeah.
yeah, we were at the Josie Music Awards this past year. We had 13 nominations between songs and each individual band member. And I actually was able to stand up on the Grand Ole Opry stage inside of the circle and receive the Vocalist of the Year award for Outlaw Country for the Josie Music Awards. And it was insane.
It was incredible. And it was, there were musicians from all over the world, which kind of set me back because we were just some folks from Southern Indiana coming down. And I was extremely proud of him because I would say 90% of them lived in Nashville or had some representation there. They had creative writing groups. They had an independent label. We did not have any of that. And for him to walk away with the award, I just thought that was a big feather in his cap.
I was shaking in my boots up there. I mean, I'm a huge like Hank Williams, George Jones, Merle Haggard fan. You know, that's like my bread and butter. And just to be up there on that stage, you know, and stand in the circle that was, you know, cut out from the original Grand Ole Opry stage. I was shaking in my boots up there. So it was pretty awesome. Definitely a highlight of everything I've done up until this
point. And there you were, two guys with that group from Little Nashville.
Yeah. Brought one home for Indiana.
Cody, are you guys playing around somewhere? Where would they go to see gigs coming up?
Oh, yeah. We're booked all the way through July at this point. You know, we're trying to fill in some dates here and there, but we've got a lot of stuff going on already. So you can find us on all social media platforms, and we also have a website at www.codyikerdmusic.com, and that's spelled CodyikerdMusic.com. Cody Eichard and the Sidewinders, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, pretty much anywhere. We've got music from all my past projects up on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, pretty much any streaming service. You can look up Cody Eichard and the Sidewinders and find something. So.
Awesome. Well, gentlemen, thank you for coming in. Cody Eichard and Corey Flick. I'm Rick Fettig, and we're here with the Brown County Hour. So thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Between the cigarettes and the whiskey and trying to get over my broken heart. I've got no friends to call me, cause I burned every bridge I had. Well, ain't that just like me, cause here I am all alone again. It's the only thing I got to hold on to at night. Sometimes I can smile just because you'd want me to, but then I fall into the floor and I whisper I love you.
the perfect partner. Being together in quiet time, watching TV shows that are older, your body sits closely by my side. Your head rests gently on my shoulder. Long red hair falls softly on my cheek. Gentle kisses from your whiskered mouth. You nuzzle my neck with sighs so meek. You keep me warm through a stormy night. You make me calm when the world's fast-paced. I see the love in your pale green eyes. I touch the white of your chest and face. I feel the heart that you always wear around your neck on a leather lace. My name and yours are engraved there. You're so uncomplaining and caring. You're never angry when I'm late. You always like the clothes I'm wearing. Over little things, we don't debate. You're my faultless partner in this life. All things wonderful, you're a saint. You'd make a perfect husband for a wife. Yet nature made us different, you and I. You have a tail and I have none. You sleep all day, I sleep at night. A common language, there isn't one. If Merlin came from days of yore and tipped his wand to grant my wish, you'd walk with 2 feet, or I with 4.
Pam Rader here for the Brown County Hour with an important community date. A community health fair will be held on Saturday, February 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Brown County Y. Services will include dental, vision, hearing, and general health screening, and a myriad of other tests. A healthcare navigator will help connect people with healthcare services, and Brown Countyans for Quality Healthcare will offer financial assistance to those in need of further healthcare. Saturday, February 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Brown County Y.
The next Alpha Gal meeting is February the 12th at 6 p.m. at the Brown County Community Foundation lower level. Parking is free. Leah Craig from Roots of Acupuncture will talk about acupuncture and Alpha Gal. The Zoom link for this meeting will be posted to the Brown County Hour website, Brown County Chatter Facebook page, and my personal Facebook page, Sarah Lytle. That's S-A-R-A-H-L-Y-T-T-L-E. We meet the second Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m. There's more exciting Alpha Gal information. Ticks and Tick-Borne Diseases, an Indiana conference, will be held at the Brown County Music Center, and this conference kicks off with a general information session at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, February the 19th. The second session is an all-day training for healthcare and environmental professionals at 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Thursday, February 20th. Both are open to the public, free, and at the Brown County Music Center.
Now we pause for station identification.
You are listening to the Brown County Hour on volunteer-powered community radio, WFHB, at 100.7 in Brown County, 91.3 and 98.1 in Bloomington, 106.3 at Ellettsville, and online at wfhb.org.
Support for the Brown County Hour comes from listeners like you and the support of the Brown County Inn, a family-friendly getaway destination located in Nashville, Indiana, offering locally sourced food, drinks, and live entertainment, with banquet space, indoor-outdoor pool, miniature golf, and more. Information and booking available at browncountyinn.com.
As we begin segment 3, Jeff Tryon shares a heartfelt remembrance of his brother. We also have an interview with Amanda Webb and a poem from Gunther Flum. We'll close the show with Dave Seastrom's essay about upgrading his winter preparedness and Cody Eichard's song, Since You've Been Gone.
When my brother Mike died suddenly last month, I tried to think about the last time I had seen him. A week before, we had dined together. What did we talk about? What did he say? I couldn't remember a thing. As usual, I had talked the whole time, making sure everybody got my take on everything. He could barely get a word in edgewise. I forgot to pay attention. I should have listened. I forgot to pay attention to my brother, not realizing that it was just about the last time I would ever get to talk to him. Now, too late. I see that was a big mistake. His passing was so quick, so unexpected, so shocking, we barely know what to think. So I'm in shock. We all still are. I'm not quite sure how to process this, what to do with it. Can't quite get my head wrapped around it. My brother Tim said, I'm experiencing all the stages of grief at the same time. Wait a minute, I'm back to denial. No, wait, it's anger. Nope, it's definitely depression. But not yet acceptance. Hard to accept. Hard to believe that he is gone. When I started school in the first grade, I would always fall asleep on that long bus ride home, and every day I would awaken with Mike carrying me off the bus and into the house. Every day. When I graduated from high school, Mike took me on a trip to New York City. Here, kid, take a look at the real world, the world you've only seen on TV. We had a ball. He always took me in during my wild years. I always had a place at his house if I needed it. And one way and another, we had a lot of fun together. His sudden death was a shock and a surprise, but on the other hand, he didn't have to linger and waste away. He didn't have to suffer. Nobody stays forever. We all have to take that journey one day. No one here gets out alive. So he got out clean, rip off the bandage, take one last good look at the world, and then off to the undiscovered country. He is free now from all the everyday pain and misery and weariness and fear that marks our journey here on earth. May God rest his beautiful soul. We're all just atoms, really. We're just stardust. By some kind of chance or miracle, the realm of all the elements of the universe, there were people, billions and billions of them. But every now and then, a bright light, a genius, a great soul. And we get this tiny little window, these too few years of life on earth. We love and laugh, we struggle, we die. And as Shakespeare observed, all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. What then shall we do? The past is gone. All that we have to work with is the future. I guess we only get so many days here, and we don't really know how many. Fate is fickle. Stuff happens. Use your days well. Make them count. I always lie to people at funerals. I always say, well, in a couple of years, the pain will fade and it won't hurt so bad. But the truth is, every day is just another day longer since the last time you've seen them, been with them. I don't think it ever completely goes away. What will help us with our pain and grief? Being around people, being social and sharing personal interactions, being active, do something, take a walk, pursue your passion, do good work. As Mike's daughter Patty said, love your people. Love your people. Don't forget to pay attention. Don't forget to listen. Be present and aware, because you just never know what might happen and when. Our revels now are ended. These, our actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits and are melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherit, shall dissolve. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep.
Hi, this is Lucy Schultz with Brown County Hour. I'm here with Amanda Webb. Hi, Amanda. How are you doing today?
Hey, Lucy. I'm doing great.
Thanks so much for having me.
Very excited to have you. And I hear that you are going to talk with us about a new CD. And what is your CD called?
Okay, this is so exciting. It's called Viscosity. Some of these songs I've been holding on to since 2019. I'm finally able to let this creative light shine.
I love the name Viscosity.
Yes. It's great. Viscosity. Viscosity really refers to the metaphorical viscosity of life. Viscosity being the resistance within fluid to flow. And we all have resistance within ourselves to the flow of life. And so certain of these songs are about how life is flowing, and certain of them are how life isn't flowing very well, but all of them are held together, all the songs and the theme are held together by the concept of viscosity, how our life is flowing like a liquid.
Interesting.
And our CD release is happening at the Playhouse. So the Bryan County Playhouse is hosting us for our CD release. It's on February 28th at 7:30 p.m. The Playhouse also has this big fat movie screen, right, that comes down. It's spectacular. Well, I'm doing the show in front of the movie screen with all kinds of visual behind me. We are also videotaping this concert for our next music video. So we need the place to be super packed. We need everybody to be there. Don't just wait for the CD release. I need you to come to the show and be there. We want our crowd to really show up and be a part of that creation. February 28th at 7:30 p.m., Bryan County Playhouse. My website is amandawebband.com.
Could you spell that website for us?
Amanda, A-M-A-N-D-A, Web, W-E-B-B, Band, B-A-N-D. So yeah, there's three B's in the middle of that, .com.
Okay.
AmandaWebBand.com.
So we just spoke with Amanda Webb on Bryan County Hour, and this is Lucy Schultz.
Blind Cat Blues by Gunther Flum. Now down the road there is a farm, what he raises causes no harm, but in the barn he had a cat, blinder than the blindest bat, that knew that barn and had her route, but never ever ventured out. You never, no, you never mind, 'cause even though that cat was blind, and even though she weren't too mean, why, not a mouse there could be seen inside that barn or any stall, the mice was gone one and all. The cat was sweet and mostly kind, but she would stumble on and find a pair of mice as they would snack and bump into them from the back, and then the mice would die of fright as she passed by them in the night. She didn't mean to cause a scare. She didn't even know the mice were there. But then the wife found in the house a teeny tiny little mouse and made the farmer get the cat to kill that giant evil rat that seemed to double twice the size right before her very eyes. The farmer thought about it twice, but knew his wife had hated mice, and so he went and got the cat, and that sure changed things after that. That cat was blind as she could be, so when he set that critter free, because she couldn't see what's there, she hit the door, then bit a chair, broke a lamp out in the hall, ripped the sofa, scratched the wall, jumped up on the dinner table before the farmer's wife was able to clear the saucers, cups, and plate. And now, of course, it was too late, driving her to lose her wits as all her china broke to bits. But that blind cat, now she weren't through, she had her one more thing to do. For as she made her final jump, she landed on their dog's poor rump. And as they both ran through the house, the farmer had lost his spouse. For as their home became a mess with all her anger and distress, she packed her bags and took the truck and wished her husband the best of luck. She'd find a place at any price as long as there were only mice.
Deep in the heart of winter, ready or not. Lately, like the chapstick we're all wearing, the words polar vortex are on everyone's lips. When it gets as cold as it is now, either you're ready or you're not. Seasoned locals start getting ready for winter long before it arrives, and the rest of us scramble to put it together at the last minute. Becky and I are in the mid-range category. We have most of our firewood put up well before the first snowfall, but we're often in the position of having to brave the cold and move more wood to the house during the long, cold winter. The process for doing this has changed over the years. When we first moved here, firewood was moved from the big pile to the house using a garden cart or a wheelbarrow. This was a slow and cumbersome way of getting the job done. Motivation was a key factor, and there's nothing like the prospect of running out of firewood to get me going. Recently, we've acquired an upgrade that's made a big difference in our winter preparedness. This past summer, my son Ben talked me into buying his Kawasaki mule. As I've mentioned, Becky and I already have too much stuff. The first question was, what am I going to do with another piece of equipment? His response wasn't a hard sell. It was more like a tutorial on the practical uses for a small four-wheel drive vehicle with a truck bed that can get anywhere on the property to haul firewood or whatever's needed. He also mentioned that it came with a snowplow. 6 months later, we've decided that purchasing the mule was worth every penny. It's not like I need something else to mess with, but the utility of this machine continues to show its value. We like this mule so much, we've named her Maud. For what it's worth, no other machine in our arsenal shares that distinction. During the fall, Maud helped to haul several loads of firewood from the forest to the big pile next to the house. We were also able to stack a nice pile on our kitchen porch well before the cold set in. In the last few weeks, here in South Central Indiana, we've seen two major snowstorms, and with them, extended periods of extreme cold. In other words, real winter has arrived, ready or not. After the first storm dumped 9 inches, it was time to hitch up Maud's snowplow and move some snow. With a hopeful heart, Becky and I suited up and went forth to attach the snowplow. We waded through the snow to the barn, and Maud's battery needed a jump because it was so cold. A few moments later, Maud fired up, and I drove her over to the plow. Down on all fours, I looked underneath for the attachment points, and I couldn't find them. About that time, I started freezing, and I came to the realization that I should have figured this out when it was warm and dry. Back in the house to recover, I spoke with my grandson, who talked me through the process. A second attempt went about the same as the first, only now I was really cold. The next call went to my son, who gave me more information, but he also volunteered to come the next day and attach the plow. By this time, I'd had enough, and I decided to wait for his help. It only took Ben about 10 minutes to attach the plow, and pretty soon the two of us were freezing our faces off, plowing snow like a couple of madmen. Our shared driveway is about a quarter of a mile long, and in little more than an hour, our drive and our neighbor Laura's was plowed. The first wave of cold weather lasted long enough to deplete the firewood on the kitchen porch. Looking ahead at the forecast, there was one day in the 40s before the next vortex came cruising in. With no time to waste, I started loading Maud, and just then my friend and neighbor Tony showed up. When he offered to help, I told him that he didn't have to do this, and he said, "Do you want to do it slow or fast?" When the next storm hit, we got an additional 5 inches, and once again Maud plowed us and our neighbors out, only this time I was able to do it by myself. As I am writing this, we are in the coldest days so far this winter, and we're as ready as we'll ever be. Winter preparedness is easier when you have some support. I'm thinking about how grateful we are that my son showed up to help us out, that our friend Tony arrived exactly on time, and how fortunate we are to have Maud. This is Dave Seastrom. See you next time.
I've been here before. Seems like I already know. From that look in your eyes, this leaving has got to go. I wonder why it has to be this way. Cause I never seem to want to change. But I know I can't imagine you walking away. Deep in my heart, I'm still in love with you. That's why you make me feel the way I feel for you. And it's a little too late. I was a little too wrong for too long. And this ain't the half of what I feel since you've been gone. All the lights turned off.
That's why you make me feel the way I feel for you. And it's a little too late. I was a little too wrong for too long. And this ain't the half of what I feel, baby, since you've been gone. All lonely nights spent in my head alone, pretty much wishing I were dead. Oh, woman, won't you come back home to stay? And it's sad but true, and now I know.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 155 of the Brown County Hour. This show was recorded in our studio at the History Center here in downtown Nashville and brought to you the first Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. and the second Wednesday at 6 p.m. and anytime online. Be sure to look for us on your favorite streaming services.
The Brown County Hour is brought to you by a diverse group of folks who believe, now more than ever, the world is for everyone.
This show was produced by
Chuck Wills,
Pam Rader,
Rick Fettig,
Vera Grubbs,
Lucy Schultz,
Sarah Lytle,
Chad Carruthers,
and Dave Seastrom. We would also like to thank Slats Klug for our theme music. You have been listening to the Brown County Hour,
coming to you from deep in the woods of Brown County, Indiana.
Celebrating the arts, culture, and nature that make this such a unique community.
Visit us online at browncountyhour.com.
The Brown County Hour is a production of WFHB.
Volunteer-powered, listener-supported community radio for South Central Indiana.
Take me back to my home, Brown County. Home.